In reality, there are no opposites. Reality can present as duality, but that presentation is only a presentation, only an expression, and not absolutely true, only relatively so. Everything, without exception, is included in this single, unbroken field of experiencing or awareness. I like to call it experiencing. And of course, there are no words to describe this infinite, eternal capacity of awareness. But I like experiencing because we are experiencing, aren't we? Like, even before I say we or I am experiencing, there's just a knowing that I am experiencing. There's a switched onness, isn't there? There's a receptivity, there's a capacity of consciousness that's totally, 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 vividly, vitally here and is saying yes to all of its manifestations. These arisings are created and held by the experiencing space. So there's no separation. Even though the mind has this propensity to divide and create an outside of experience, of reality, if we look at our direct experience in a very radically empirical way, we don't find an outside to experience, do we? Can you find an outside to your experience? Can you find any real separation? Or is it that you only find conceptual separation, conceptual division, a conceptual outside? This field of experiencing is where all phenomena occur. It all arises here, it all appears here. Where else could it appear? So, this experiencing is the totality of reality. Your experience is the totality of reality. I'm not saying your experience, the individual's experience. I'm not saying Nick's experiencing, Nick's awareness is the totality of reality. No. Nick appears within the totality, within experience. Nick is one experience of seemingly infinite experiences, infinite apparitions, infinite manifestations that arise from and are held within this continuum of knowing. The word continuum means uninterrupted, unbroken. Nothing interrupts this space of experiencing, and it's not broken, it's not divided in any way. And within this continuum, every experience is an inseparable expression. Whatever you're experiencing is how the totality is experiencing itself, is exploring itself. So that recognition reveals that there is no mundane experience, there is no ordinary experience, because every experience is the totality, literally. So something that seems ordinary, boring, is actually the totality of reality, which is you expressing itself, the one reality. How many realities do you find? There's one reality. It has no end, doesn't stop, it's unbroken. So, yeah, on the face of it, each aspect of experience seems unique. You know, it presents in this seemingly infinite range of qualities, and each expression of the undivided whole of the experiential field is a facet, is a unique way the experiential field knows itself. There's a yes provided for this display of duality. Even duality, even the appearance of duality, is allowed. But that duality is not absolutely true. One side of the yin is needed so the yang can be known. Without the yin, there is no yang. Anything that requires an opposite to exist is not true, is not real, is not the absolute. So what is real? What does that leave? What's left? What remains when all of these conceptual opposites are seen for what they are? What holds it? What's the ground? What's the foundation? It's this continuum of experiencing. It's this field. And this field encompasses every apparent phenomenon as part of this one unified occurrence. It's a happening. It's an unraveling. There's an unfolding of experience. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, even thinking, these are all synonyms for experiencing, aren't they? So if I say to you, hear this voice, it has the same meaning as when I say, be aware of this voice. So hearing and awareness are the same. And you can't separate hearing from the sound. The sound is made of hearing, and hearing is made of awareness. How astonishingly amazing is that? That we believed that we had to seek some non-dual awareness, some special awareness, some enlightened consciousness. But it's here. It's this. It's what everything is made of. And in this field of experiencing, every bit of sensory data is not just part of the whole. It is the whole. So what's arising within experience right now? Just see what's here. What's included? Because what's here is included. The full spectrum of experience. So when a sound arises, like the sound of his voice, it's not happening independently. Sounds are the experiential field, experiencing itself, expressing itself. So listen closely. The sound, your awareness of it, and the consciousness that perceives it are not distinct processes or entities. They are the same seamless happening. The sound and the listener are not two distinct entities. There are no entities. The sound and the listener are the same single, non-dual unfolding of experiencing. This is what the space of knowing, the totality of reality, sounds like right now, just right now. And the sounds fade. Where do they go? Well, they don't go to some other reality. In a way, the sounds, which are made of hearing, don't go anywhere. They simply change form. That is to say, experiencing changes form. So there are sights, there are colours, there are patterns and textures. So when something is seen, notice that what's seen is included, already included, no matter what it is. So really consider what it is that you're seeing. Can you separate yourself from it? Can you separate awareness from what is seen? Where's the border at which awareness stops and the sight begins? Can you find it? These sights are not just in your experience, they are the experience itself. So there is no seer on one side and the seen on the other. In a way, they arise together. They arise as the same indivisible process of seeing, of experiencing. But it's one. It can appear as many, but it is one in essence. So every colour, every shape, every texture, every movement, every visible movement is the experiential field manifesting as visual phenomena. This is like visible consciousness. And there are smells. What can you smell? And just like sights and sounds, these smells are all included, aren't they? Is any smell excluded? Each aroma, no matter what the story says, is an expression of the field. And the aroma, the sensing of it, the perceiver and the perceived are not separate, are they? Again, can you find a divide? They are the same single act of experiencing within this unbounded space of awareness, made of awareness. There are tastes. Even if you're not drinking or eating anything, there's a taste. To delve into that taste, normally you wouldn't delve into a taste like this. We don't really taste the taste unless we think we're eating something delicious or something unique, something special. And then we're really there, we're really present. But you can do that with just this ordinary taste, this default taste. So whatever you're tasting is included. So the flavors you're encountering aren't external additions to your experience. They are your experience. They are experiencing bitter, sweet, sour. Each side of the yin-yang that is embraced by the seamless, unending continuum is included. And there are sensations. There might be comfort, there might be discomfort, ease, disease. But each sensation is the experiential field manifesting as bodily sensations. And really, you don't find a body, you just find the somatic field. We could call it a field of energy, field of sensation. These are just words. But whatever you find, you're finding the totality expressing that way. And there are thoughts held equally by this radical inclusivity of consciousness. They are held just as much as anything else is held. Even the most sublime sensation and the most torturous thought is held with the same equality. So no matter what the stories say right now, no matter what the mind is telling you, no matter what the narrative says, each thought is included. Every thought. Thoughts about the future, memories of the past, analytical reasoning, mindless chatter, all of that emerges from this field and is held within this field. It's not held by a brain or a mind. The idea of a brain, the idea of a mind is held by the seamless, unending continuum of experiencing. And that's you. You're not the mind. You're not the brain. Just as you're not the body, not the person. For self as another arising, something else to be experienced. It's not you, you're simply aware of it. You're not defined by it, just as you're not defined by the table in your experience. Both the table and the sense of self are experiences, are expressions of the totality. So we're not trying to fight the self, get rid of the self. Just see it for what it is. It's not you. It's made of what you are, but you're not made of it. So the sense of self is made of what you really are. You are not made of the sense of self. It does not define you. There really is no subject-object dichotomy in direct experience. You're not separate from anything. And because you're not separate from anything, there's no longer a need to seek or find, no state to achieve. There's just this infinite dance of experiencing. No hierarchies, no levels, no steps. A moment of deep meditation is no higher, is no more significant than a moment of mundane daily life. This conversation is no more special than a conversation about the weather. Both are conversations about reality. You can't not talk about reality, the one reality, the only reality. You can't not experience it. Every word refers to it, but no word captures it. This field doesn't prefer one state over another. It includes and also transcends all dualities, which sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? But only in language. Only because we're using words to point to the unpointable. So no matter what you're experiencing right now, what you're encountering is not an isolated event. It's the dynamic, ever-changing expression of what you are. It's radical inclusivity.